I appreciate y'all's prayers. I'm sure that some of you were aware of the fact that I had that virus. I'm telling you, it nearly killed me. That's the honest truth. And you don't have to worry now about shaking hands with me because I'm past the stage to where I can get it or give it. So you don't have to worry about that. But doctors done told me I will never fully get over it. But His grace is sufficient. I don't have a whole lot of years left anyway. I'll be 75 in February. And I'm gonna tell you folks, the way things are going now, we may not want to be around too much longer anyway. Tell you what, it's getting bad. It's getting bad. Love your pastor and his family. Brother Michael's been a friend of mine a long time. I appreciate you letting me come, man. I appreciate it. I can't tell you how glad I am to be here. Today will be the first time since I've had this virus that I will preach twice. So I need your prayers. You pray, God, give me the strength to preach this morning and again this evening. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Preach on something very timely, very relevant. First Thessalonians chapter 4, begin reading with verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You may be seated. I'll lead us in a word of prayer. Would you pray in your heart right there where you're sitting while I pray audibly? Only God can make this service what it ought to be. For your son Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you so much, God, for saving our souls. Thank you. We don't have to worry about going to hell now. But oh, God, if there's one here lost in Jesus' name, save that soul. Oh, God, don't let anyone get left behind when Jesus comes back. Thank you, God, for the good music we heard this morning. Thank you, God. God, thank you, God, for those, God, that you used here this morning to bless our hearts by way of song. Bless them, God. Bless this whole church family. And bless this dear pastor and his family. Thank you for giving us a kindred spirit. Now, God, give us move of God here today. Please give me the strength to preach this morning again this evening. Then bless the revival meeting to be going on here this week. Bless the other man of God as he comes. Use him mightily. Use us for your honor and glory now. Please again see to that one that's come. Just bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you. Now I've got three bottles in all. That's 3 hours, isn't it? I'm preaching with the help of God this morning on the rapture of the church. I believe that the next major prophetic event on God's timetable. There are no signs for the rapture. There are many signs for the second coming. And if the signs for the second coming are already in there, then how near must be the rapture? Because it comes at least 7 years before the second coming. I'm telling you, ready or not, Jesus is coming. It's already been over 2,000 years since he said, I will come again. So you can take it to the bank, he's coming. Thank God, I'm so glad he is. It suit me fine if he'd come while I'm in this pulpit preaching. I'd love that. Be a good place to go home from. I want us to notice several simple thoughts, and I'll let you go to the house. We're going to notice, first of all, there will be a return. Secondly, there will be a resurrection. Thirdly, there will be a rapture. Fourthly, there will be a reunion. Last of all, there will be remorse. So notice, first of all, there will be a return. The Bible says the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven. The Lord himself, not Moses, not Moses or Elijah. There may be the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. I don't know for sure about that, but I know for sure about this. Jesus himself is coming back. Not Michael, not Gabriel, but Jesus himself. The same Jesus who walked the streets of Jerusalem. The same Jesus who walked on the shores of Galilee. Same Jesus who walked on the water, cleansed the lepers, healed the sick, raised the dead, died for our sins, arose for our justification, ascended back to heaven. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 1, you read where the two men in white apparel, no doubt angels, said to the disciples, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Same Jesus, not another. Same one, thank God. Amen. There will be a return. If all the prophecies of God concerning the first coming of Jesus were fulfilled in minute detail, then you can take it to the bank. All the prophecies of God concerning the second coming of Jesus will be fulfilled in minute detail. You take, for an example, we find in Isaiah 7:14, how he'd be born of a virgin. Read the Gospels. He's born of the Virgin Mary just like he said he would be. Micah 5:2 tells us where he'd be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. You read the gospel, you'll find he was born in Bethlehem just like the Bible said he would be. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9 tells us how he would ride into the city of Jerusalem the first time he came on a coat, the fold of an ass. Read Matthew 21, that's exactly the way he rode into the city of Jerusalem, on a donkey. So, if all the prophecies of God concerning the first coming of Jesus were fulfilled in minute detail, as I've already said, then you can take it to the bank. All the prophecies of God concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ will be fulfilled likewise. I'm telling you, he's coming. What we have preached about and sung about and read about and talked about all these years, it's going to happen one of these days. There will be a return. Thank God Jesus is coming back. Dr. R.G. Lee, I got to hear him preach several times. He's been dead for years and years. He was a great pulpiteer, a great orator. had a great command of the English language. Someone asked Dr. R.G. Lee before he died back years ago, said, "What's the hope of America?" He said, "The only hope for America is the second coming of Jesus Christ." Amen. I believe that's right. I beg God to send revival to the churches of America. But I'm telling you what, I believe we're getting so close to the rapture that I don't know whether we'll be having a revival before he comes back or not. I know we won't have a worldwide revival because the Bible don't teach that. No. The Bible teaches it's going to get worse instead of getting better. There will be a return. Secondly, there will be a resurrection. I love the second point because I'm needing a resurrection. I'm needing a new body. This is going down fast. Since I've had this virus, I really, really, really need a new body. Amen. Thank the Lord there won't be any virus in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. No aches and pains. No arthritis. No rheumatism. No bursitis. No heart attack. No cancer. Thank God. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. Thank the Lord. There will be a resurrection. The most exhaustive chapter in all the Bible. On the fact that we'll have a brand new body. A body like Jesus. That is found in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible tells us that this body is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It's sown a mortal body, but it's raised in immortality. It's sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. Thank God. We'll get a brand new body. Never get sick. You won't even need any aspirin over there. Praise God. So there will be a resurrection. And if you want to know what kind of a body we're going to have, then just read the Bible and you'll find we'll have a body like the one Jesus has got since he rose from the dead at that. The psalmist said, "I shall be satisfied when I wait with his likeness." 1 John 3:2, he said, "Beloved, now we're the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, "For our conversation," that means our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ," here it is, "who shall change of our bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." I mean, we'll have a body just like the one Jesus has got. And if you've ever wondered just exactly what that body's going to be like, then all you have to do is read those 10, 11, 12 appearances of Jesus after he rose from the dead. Then you know exactly what kind of a body you're going to have. The one I really like is found in Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, Jesus appeared to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. One of them's name was Cleophas. Jesus came walking up and was listening to what they were saying. They didn't recognize him. The Bible does tell us in the Word of God that sometimes he appeared in another form. And so they didn't realize who was walking with them. Now they became very curious by the time they got to Emmaus because the heart was a burning. They knew there was something different about him. They didn't know who he was yet, but they knew there was something different about him. And so Jesus said, "What communications are these that you have one to another as you're walking or sad?" And Cleophas said, "Art thou a stranger only in Jerusalem, and hast thou not heard the things which are coming to pass there in these days?" Jesus said, "What things?" And he said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how that the chief priests and our rulers condemned him to death and crucified him." And Then they told about how there were those who went to the tomb and found it empty. Finally, Jesus, I can just almost see him shaking his head. He said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he began to expound on all the scriptures and things concerning himself. Then when they got to Emmaus, the Bible said he made as though he would go further. But they constrained him to come in. He walked in the house. He went in as a guest. But when he got on the inside, he was the host. You know why? Because he's Lord. That's the reason. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when he got in the house, now they still haven't recognized him yet. But the Bible tells us he took the bread. The Bible tells us that he blessed the bread and broke it and so forth and so on. So I could almost hear one of the guests in the house saying, since I don't recognize him yet, "Sir, did anybody call on you to say the blessing?" No, they didn't have to, because he's Lord. And the Bible tells us he vanished out of their sight. He walked to Emmaus, but he must have flown back to Jerusalem. I don't have any problems with that. I mean, we sing, "I'll fly away." And then he got back to Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he appeared to the disciples, the doors being shut. John's gospel says that the doors were shut. It means that they were locked up. But he didn't need a key. You get your glorified body, you won't need any keys neither. That's right. So Jesus spoke to them. The first thing he said was, "Peace be unto you." So he had the power of speech. So after we get our glorified body, we're going to have the power of speech. We'll be able to speak. We'll be able to talk. Thank God there won't be any gossip going on, though. Then the Bible tells us that they were terrified and frightened and supposed to have seen a spirit. And Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." In 1 John 1:1, John said, we handle the word of life. Folks, you can't handle spirit. Spirit's immaterial. There was nothing spooky about Jesus after he rose from the dead. And not going to be anything spooky about me and you when we get that glorified body. We're going to be real. We'll have a real literal body just like Jesus. And to give further proof that it was him, he said, "Have you here any meat?" And they handed him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And so happened the Bible said he ate it before them. He ate it. So we're going to be able to eat. We Baptists like that. You said, "Well, what are we going to eat? Fried chicken, banana pudding." I don't know what you're going to eat, but you won't need any Rolaids or Alka-Seltzer. We got a lot to look forward to, folks. Don't you get out of heart. Don't let this election unsettle you. See, the devil hates this country. We sent out more missionaries than any country in the world. This country was founded. Our forefathers came here, the pilgrims and all, that we might have religious liberty. So just pray. Just pray. There will be a return. There will be a resurrection. Oh, thank God. But get a new body. The Bible says in that day the lame shall leap like a hart. Leap like a little deer. We get to heaven, you're not going to see any, you're not going to see any wheelchairs. You're not going to see any crutches, walking canes. Glory to God. You won't see any of that. So there'll be a return, there'll be a resurrection. Next of all, there will be a rapture. Now you won't find the word rapture in the Bible, but that's what the word caught up means. The Bible says we'll be caught up, we'll be snatched away. So you won't find the word Trinity in the Bible either, but the Trinity is all through the Bible. So you won't find the word, I repeat, you won't find the word rapture in the Bible, but it's in there. That's what the word caught up means. See, the Bible says we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's quicker than I can snap my fingers. See, so you better make sure you're saved. If Jesus were to come back right now, you wouldn't have time to run from that pew to this altar and get saved. It happened so quick. We'd be gone and you'd be left behind. You better make sure you're saved, boys and girls, daddy, mom, husband, wife. What would happen to you if Jesus were to come back today? What would happen to you? Serious business, folks. Oh, God, it's serious. I beg God every day to save the millions in this country lost without God going to hell. Millions. Over 300 million people in America now. If you know anything about God in the Bible, you know most of them are lost. Sad, it's sad. So sad. Oh, God help. I wish somehow or another we could wake them up. So there will be a rapture. Then there will be a reunion. The Bible said we'll be caught up together. I don't believe you'll ever hear these words in heaven. Goodbye. Hallelujah. We better learn how to get along with one another. We're just going to spend forever together up there. Ah, you won't have to worry then. We won't have this old sin nature then. We'll be perfect then. So we'll be able to get along for all eternity. Amen. You'll never hear one cross word. Thank God you'll never hear one cuss word. Amen. Oh, glory to God, what a day it's going to be. Even so, come Lord Jesus. See. Then last of all, there'll be remorse. You say, no, preacher. Jesus said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You got to remember something. When he said that, he was talking to saved people. He was talking to people in the church of Thessalonica. Saved. So among those who are not saved, you better believe there'll be remorse. When they realize that they have been left behind and there's no hope. See, you may say, well, I get saved in the tribulation period. According to the Bible, you won't. If you've heard the gospel before the rapture, you won't get another chance. Read 2 Thessalonians 2. God's going to send strong delusion to those who held the truth and unrighteous, that they might all be damned who held the truth and unrighteous. See, you won't get another chance. See, it's so sad. If Jesus were to come right now, it'd be wonderful. But if you're not saved, it's over for you. It's over. It's over. If you've had a chance to get saved and you don't get saved before the rapture, then you can hang it up, friend. It's over for you. You'll never be saved. You'll spend eternity in hell without God. Oh, God help you to wake up before it's too late. There'll be remorse, I'm telling you. Jesus said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob enter into the kingdom of heaven and you yourself thrust out. weeping and gnashing of teeth, folks. I really believe when the rapture takes place that there'll be some church members. Hope it won't be any of you. But when the rapture takes place, I believe there'll be some church members will get on the phone and call the preacher's home. But nobody picks up the receiver. Why? Him and his wife are gone and you're left behind. I believe there'll be people who will drive down to the pastor's home, knock on the door. Preacher, preacher, where's everybody at? But he doesn't answer the door. His wife doesn't answer the door. Why? They're gone and you're left behind. Then by way of conclusion, just for an example, I believe there will be teenagers who didn't get saved, whose dad and mama were saved. I believe they'll be running back and forth through the house, screaming and hollering, "Where's my mama? Where's my mama? Where's my mama? She's gone and you're left behind." Are you saved? What would happen to you if Jesus were to come back today? Would you go to heaven or would you get left behind? Oh my. I wouldn't be in your shoes if you lost for all the money in this world. I wouldn't. Well, you better hit this altar and ask Jesus to save you, because you're going to get left behind if you're not careful. Left behind. And Daddy, Mom, if you're saved, you make sure your children get saved. Don't you let your children get left behind. Don't you let your children go to hell. Would you stand your feet? Heads bowed, eyes closed, the musicians have come. Some of you may want to come to altar while I'm praying. Please, please don't get left behind. Please make sure you're saved. Oh, God in heaven, thank you, Jesus, for saving my own soul. Father, I thank you. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt when Jesus comes, I'm going to heaven. Father, I thank you. I'm not going to get left behind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, please, God, if it's one you lost in Jesus' name, save that soul right now. Right now, Jesus, please, God. Please, God. Jesus' name, please don't let anyone in here get left behind and go to hell and burn forever. Oh, God, please, have mercy. God, have mercy upon those here that's not saved. Please, God, have mercy upon them. Please, God. I encourage you to come. Would you come?
We're closer to the greatest event this world's ever known. He's coming. Christ shall return again to claim his own. He's coming. My Lord is coming. He will step from his throne on high, and in the twinkling of an eye, with a shout that will quicken all the born again, my Lord is coming. And when he comes, he'll not be alone. He'll bring loved ones who've already gone. They're coming. And the power that graced Christ that day will return into the grave. They're coming. My Lord is coming. Then the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive shall be caught up to meet him in the air. My Lord is coming. told us in His Word to watch and pray. Then we'll not be ashamed at His coming. Some will not be prepared. Don't let Him catch you unaware. He's coming. My Lord is coming. When at last these eyes shall see the One who died for me, paid my sin debt that I could never pay. My Lord is coming. And when we gather there with our Lord in the air, I'll be like Him, free from this sinful flesh, robed in His righteousness. I'll be like Him. And when we gather there with my Lord in the air, I'll be like Him, free from this sinful flesh, robed in His righteousness. I'll be like Him. My Lord is coming. My Lord is coming.
Amen. I hope you've done business with God this morning. People still in the altars praying. Last words in that chapter says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That message was either very comforting to you or very convicting. And if you're lost today, I trust you'll come, get born again, get your sins forgiven, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, make heaven your home, guarantee your reservation. Repent of your sin. Do a U-turn. Turn from sin in this world and turn to Jesus. Come to Christ today. If you have not moved, God's hourglass is empty. Time is running out. It will not get easier. It will not get easier. It will not get easier to be a Christian. It will not get easier to get saved if you're not a Christian. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You'll never get saved tomorrow. Never. You must come to God while He's dealing with you, while He's speaking to you. People's told me my whole life, I'll get saved when I want to. No, you won't. No, you won't. You won't never want to. Until it's too late. If you hadn't done business with God, you come this morning. We got time. We have time. We'll make time. I'd rather do without food today and see you get saved. Amen. God, bring back the burden. Bring back the burden. All right. Y'all quit playing. Thank you for coming this morning. If we can help you in any way after the service, we'll be honored to.